Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God. And then I do want to get into some time of prayer. For those that remember from last week, I know I may have missed it, or maybe I didn't miss it on Sunday, but it's been 1 week of fasting already. Perhaps some of you have fasted over the course of the last week. If not, there's still another 2 weeks that we want to fast. And I got a ring here in my, I don't know why there's a ring, but maybe some of these other mics can be turned down. So there it is. Hopefully it doesn't bother you as it might be bothering me at this point. But anyways, if you have determined, or you want to be a part of seeing some of these things happening that are happening in the next month and or 5 weeks, that are it's almost like one thing after another over the course of even a weekend. There's double things happening on some of these weekends. So I will get into that. But for you to say, I'm going to not just pray, I want to fast and pray. If you can, let me encourage you to join in the morning, whether it's before you go to work, to be here at 6 o'clock, and to join in with a prayer. Leave when you have to leave. Or you might say, hey, you know what, I don't have to get up that early, or I have some time, or I have a day where I'm not working, and I'm going to come at 20 after 9. I'm going to join in with the group that's praying at that time. But to pray, to fast and pray. Some things don't happen except by fasting and prayer, and especially when it comes to the enemy in a person's life. Some things don't always happen except by fasting and prayer. So I wanted to share a little bit about the fact that these guys are coming. Isn't that amazing? Do you not find that amazing? I find it amazing that we're going to, those cars that I went past, like today when I went past, like, oh my goodness. And it's been oftentimes see a different car or different cars and say, I want to see that car. I'm going to have a chance to go see those cars. I'm going to have a chance to talk to those guys that I always go by on Wednesdays. It's like, they're going to be here in our church parking lot. They're going to have their cars set up here in our church parking lot. I just say, thank you, Lord. What an amazing thing. And also to connect. We need to go out and connect. Can I say another thing? If you haven't, if you know somebody that has children or whatever, maybe you want to see if you can get tickets. If you go on our Revive Niagara website, there's a spot where you can connect to Worship in the Wild. They have their own website, and just check out for tickets. Or you might just Google to see for cheap tickets for Safari Niagara, because the day before we're having all the cars happening here, we're having Worship in the Wild. There's a number of us from our church that are involved, especially with the ministry tent. I just say thank you, Lord, that there's a number that are involved with the ministry tent. And to minister to people, whether it's for salvation or prayer or whatever it may be, praise God. Others may be involved in different ways, but there's probably about 100 or 130 or so, if not 150, different individuals involved just in the running of Worship in the Wild, which will be an all-day event happening. And that's not including the 7 speakers that are going to be sharing their testimony. It's not including the 8 worship teams and artists that are going to be there. And we're believing for a powerful thing to happen. You might say, you know what? I want to have my friends or neighbors or whatever. I want to have them go. Maybe you'll purchase a ticket or get, hey, I want to get these tickets for you. I want you to go to Safari Niagara. There's a big, huge zoo there. I didn't know how extensive it was until I went last year, and I went through and I saw it. But this time we're going to be, there's a huge amphitheater that can hold literally tens of thousands of people. And to be there and just to be able to exalt Jesus Christ and to hear of the power of God in a person's life, the changes that can take place as there's a surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit and a response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that those opportunities will be given. The last final speaker for Worship in the Wild, who's the key speaker at the end, will be in church the next day, right here. He's going to be speaking on the 25th. So not this Sunday, the following Sunday. So I just say thank you, Lord. Mike Welch. I'll have to make sure I have the right last or pronunciation of the last name. But he's going to be ministering. I don't know exactly. No, I'm going to leave it up to the Holy Spirit to just guide him. Because after he's finished in here, there's going to be also some ministry that he's going to be speaking to the whole group after we eat and whatever, and we look at the cars, and I think we're going to have prizes and stuff for, you know, different categories of cars and whatnot, and talk to whoever. So after that time, there's going to be an opportunity for Mike, who is the president of the Canadian Christian Riders, so across Canada. So he's going to be here on the 25th. So praise God for what he is doing by his Spirit. What he's doing by his Spirit. This morning, as I got up and I was just reading through, and I'm reading through the Bible chronologically, and the Old Testament and New Testament simultaneously. So there's passages that I'm reading, again, chronologically. So not book by book, but chronologically. So all the different books are tied together, like 1 Kings and then 1 Chronicles and or 2 Chronicles. And so they're tying everything together. So it's very interesting. And this morning, and I'm going to read quickly, I want to talk about the details and God's power, and then we're going to get into some prayer, because we need to pray. We need to pray for those that are coming to our church. We want to invite, and let me just say this to you. If you want to give towards us, we're going to need food, and I don't know how much food, but we're going to need food to feed the people, not just on the 25th, but the following week, on the 31st, the Saturday, we're going to be going to Charles Daly Park in the Jordan area, in the Lincoln area. And I've never been there, but apparently it's a very beautiful beach park. It's right on Lake Ontario. And we're going to be praying. This is the fourth of seven of the prayer times. And I know some of you have been to all three so far. If you haven't, come for the fourth specifically. So we're going to be doing it a little bit different in that we're going to be outside praying. And so we're going to be praying for Grimsby, the municipality of Grimsby, and Lincoln, which is along the north side of the Niagara region. And so we're going to be praying from 10:30, or there's going to be some time of worship, maybe a song introduction, a little bit of guidance, direction and prayer, and then we're going to be taking time to pray outdoors. We've got two pavilions already rented and booked. They're booked, and there's going to be barbecues there as well that we can use as well, and there's a little band shell or stand that is booked as well. So come and take part of it. Now, what we're going to be doing afterwards, again, we're going to be feeding, and that's what I'm saying. If you want to give towards this and say, hey, yeah, like, I don't know how many people, this is a long weekend, and who knows how many people are going to be out on the beach for the last long weekend. There's potentially going to be thousands there, or at least hundreds anyways, that are going to be along that beach there, and we will have an opportunity to feed people and to interact with them for the people that we are praying for that are possibly from Lincoln or Grimsby area, and so that's for the last Saturday of the month. Lots of stuff going on. So if you want to take part, and there's other projects that are, or opportunities for outreach that are happening, and you want to give towards it, just mark, whether you're e-giving or on the envelope, just mark outreach, outreach. So whatever amount, we're going to use it for outreach. It's part of evangelism and reaching out to others. So you can mark on there outreach and give towards it. And so, yeah. Absolutely. We can, if that's the case, and you want to go and you're not sure where it is and you want to go with somebody else, absolutely. So if there's, that's a good thing that we arrange for that. And so maybe Julie or Mark, I see you on a regular basis as well. Can you just remind me to put in my phone that it's put on so that we can have rides for the end of the month, because some of you may need rides or whatever to get out. So thank you, sister. So I'm looking forward to these times, because the Lord is asking. He says at the end of chapter 16 of Mark, he says, "And they went out, the Lord confirming the word with signs following." We're going out. We're going out. The Lord confirming the word with signs following. So we are being obedient to his word, and even to the thing of prayer. We are praying for souls, and I'm excited. The doors that are opening, just amazing. All right. So details. The Lord is a God of details, and the details in your life, and I just thank God for the fact that he is very interested in the details of your life. This morning, as I was just reading for personal, just my personal going through the Bible, I was at 2 Chronicles chapter 4, and it says, and it's talking about Solomon and the temple, and it was all the details of things being made. It says, "Moreover, he made a bronze altar. 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height." I said it was 7 or 7.5 cubits high. It's actually 10 cubits. And once again, a cubit is the length from the elbow to the end of the hand. Usually it's considered 18 inches. So if you want to figure out how big it is, or how long or wide it is, 20 times 1.5, which would be, what's 20 times 1.5? 30. It's 30 feet. So it was 30, the bronze altar where all the sacrifices were, was 30 feet. And I said the other day, it's like from about here to the wall is about 30 feet. So it was 30 feet or 20 cubits was its length. 20 cubits was its width, so it was square. And it was 10 cubits high. What's 10 times 1.5? It's 15. It was 15 feet high. You might say, how high is 15 feet? It's like the top of that section there is just 9 feet. So it's another 6 feet. So on the top of the ridge there, that's how high it was. And so they needed stairs going up even to put things on the altar, because it was so high. It was like, wow, this is amazing. Details. Even the length and the width and the height of it. Then he made a sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to another, so 15 feet. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, times 1.5 is 7.5 feet. And a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. So all the way around was 45 feet in circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen, encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The oxen were cast in two rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen. So this whole sea was on 12 oxen. Three were looking to the north, three were looking toward the west, three were looking toward the south, and three looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward, so their heads were facing out all the way around this sea. Three looking to, it was a hand breadth thick. So the thickness, sea was made, and the thickness of it was a hand's width, a hand's breadth. And its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, so and like a lily blossom, so it came up and it came out all the way around. It contained 3,000 baths. So the bath was a measurement at that time. And you say, well, how much is a bath? It's about 40 liters, or 9 gallons or so, is one bath. So 40 liters, okay? Now, how many liters was there? Was 3,000 baths in there. So 3,000 times 40 gives you 120,000 liters. I'm thinking, okay, I have this pool. It's 18 feet, and it's about 4 feet. It's got about 18 or 20,000 liters in it when it's full. And I'm thinking this was like six times the volume. This thing was held a lot of water in it, and so it gave even how much it held. He also made 10 lavers, which are these larger bowls, and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to wash in them such things as they offered for the burnt offerings. They would wash in them, but the sea was for the priests to wash in. So they'd come in, they'd wash in this, that there would be a cleansing, physical cleansing. And he made 10 lampstands of gold according to the design, and he set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables, and there's just one thing after another that is mentioned here. Verse 11, then Huram, who was this master craftsman that was actually given by King Huram, said, hey, I want to give you this master craftsman. And he made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Huram finished doing the work that he was to do for King Solomon for the house of God. The two pillars, including the two pillars and the bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the two pillars, the two networks covering the two bowl-shaped capitals which were on top of the pillars. You may say, what are these pillars holding? In 2 Chronicles 3, verse 15 to 17, it gives a little bit of instruction on it. And we're just talking details. Verse 15 says, also he made in front of the temple two pillars 35 cubits high, and the capital that was on top of each of them was 5 cubits. So total with the pillar, and then on top of it was this capital, or this structure on the top that sort of was larger than the pillar itself, and it was another 5 cubits high, so it was another 7.5 feet. The total height of this thing was 40 cubits, which would be how many feet times 1.5? 40 times 1.5? Just cut 40 in half and add that half to the 40, and you get 60. You get 60. It was 60 feet high. Let me just tell you, from the floor to the ceiling is 23 feet and 2 inches. So it was almost three times the height from the floor to the ceiling. Three times the height higher were these huge pillars that stood up in front of the temple. And I was just reading that the temple itself, I believe, was 140 cubits, 130 or 140 cubits high. Like, this was not some little thing. This structure where the temple was like almost 200 feet high. 200 feet. Details. And this was for the name of the Lord, a temple for the name of the Lord. These two pillars, it says in verse 17, 2 Chronicles 3:17 says, then he set up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And he called the name of the one on the right, Jachin, and the name of the one on the left, Boaz. And so I looked at these pillars, what the name means. What does the name Jachin mean? What does Boaz mean? And to me, it was such an encouragement. Right in front of the temple, having to do with the temple, having to do with relationship with God, all of these things, Jachin means he will establish. God will establish. He will work things out. Just like I shared with you already, God is working things out. The guys that I passed for literal decades coming to church here, whether I walk or, and I, it's like, oh man, I want to go see those cars, are going to be in our parking lot in a week and a half. They're going to be in our parking lot. And it's like, thank you, Lord. He will establish, and Boaz means fleetness. Does anybody know what fleetness might have to do with? Perhaps strength? Sorry? Swift. If you are fleet of foot, you are fast. He will establish quickly. I want you to be encouraged tonight that God, as we honor him with our lives, and there's different things that may be happening, and there might be extreme situations, that God wants to work quickly on your behalf, to establish quickly on your behalf, that he would be central in your life, that he would be glorified. Look to him. Let these things be a part of your life. The temple of the Lord, your house, the temple that you are, let it be for the Lord. You would not be distracted. And I could go on. There's just so many different things that are mentioned, and even just in chapters 3 and 4 of 1 Chronicles is just amazing. Or sorry, 2 Chronicles. And when I jumped over to the book of Acts from yesterday to today, I was in the just one chapter and parts and portions of this one chapter, Acts chapter 19. So if I can have you quickly go there, and then I just want to share a few more thoughts, then we're going to jump into prayer, okay? Acts 19, verse 17, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. What became known? This thing of, you know, remember the seven sons of Sceva? And so they thought, you remember, they tried, what did they try to do, the seven sons of Sceva? What did they try to do? They tried to cast out demons by the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And so there were seven of them, and there was one man that was demon influenced and possessed. And so they went, and the demon said to them, Jesus, I know Jesus, we know Jesus, and Paul we know, but who are you? Jesus was something up here, but it was not part of their lives. And so the demons were not afraid. And so basically this man, by the power of the demons, basically attacked these men, and it says, and overcame them, and they ran out, they were naked. When it was all said and done, all seven of them ran off naked. So it's like, wow, okay. And so even as things went out, it became known that it says the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, or the fear of the Lord was there. I'm just going to just get back to that passage. I don't have it in my notes, but I just want to read that other verse that's there. And Yeah. So verse 17. I've got it here. This became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I'm praying, even with the Old Testament and those pillars, as we make our lives, that it would be around who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross, the sacrifice. That's what the temple was about, and it was about coming, being able to come into the presence of God, to be there, to have things taken care of in your own life. But that our lives, our temple, would allow for the power of God to move, that there would be, even through us, that the name of the Lord Jesus would be magnified in and through us. In the next few verses, it said, and there, about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. The way being Jesus, being the way, the truth, and the life. And there was a great commotion about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen by making these shrines of Diana, this goddess, who's an idol. He called them together, all the craftsmen, with the workers of similar occupation, and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. We're making money by making these shrines that people are buying. Moreover, you see and hear, not only at Ephesus, in our city of Ephesus," and it was not just a, it was probably the size of Niagara Falls population-wise, or even more than even Niagara Falls. It was a substantial city. "You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, these shrines that we're making for Diana. They are not gods which are made with hands. They're idols. There's no life in them. These gods that are not gods, they're made by hand. They're made by us." And so there was this turning. The thing that stood out to me was that throughout almost all of Asia, not just Ephesus, and this is Asia Minor, which now it would contain the country of Turkey, which was Asia Minor. And so throughout all of the land of what is now Turkey, people were being persuaded to come to Christ just by Paul and those 12 that were at the school of Tyrannus, the 12 disciples at the beginning of Ephesus. He prays. He says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" "Paul, what are you talking about?" He explains it, laid hands on them, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And these 12, there might have been others, they basically changed all of Turkey back then. And it's like they were there for about 2.5 years. I think they were there for about 2.5 years. And here, this is what happened. Listen, I don't know how much time we have left before the Lord comes, but there is 500,000 people in our region that need Jesus. Amen? And we, you might say, there was only 12 of them back then. We are more than 12 here tonight. And our church, that we would go out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the things that we're doing is, Lord, that they would hear about Jesus. We want to see many saved. We want to see 100, even a quarter of the 500,000 come to Christ before he comes back. "Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The enemy is going to do whatever he can to distract you from presenting your body a living sacrifice. So you're going to be doing all other kinds of things, possibly. And you're going to be distracted by the cares of this life. And there's a fruitfulness that's being choked out from you. So the cares of this life overwhelm you. They choke out that the plant, us being the plant, has no fruit. It says, the cares of this life, do you have cares of this life? Lord, I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. The second thing that chokes out is what? Anybody know what there's three things mentioned that choke out. There's a stony or the hard ground. Our heart is hard or stony. We hang on to certain things that we shouldn't. Those stones need to be removed from our life. Or there's these thorns. The deceitfulness of riches. The pursuit of riches. Let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with money. Absolutely nothing. But when there's a pursuit that is it's going to choke out the fruitfulness in your life. There's many people that were mentioned in the Bible that were extremely well off, but that they would not be such that it's consuming us. The deceitfulness of riches, thinking, and listen, sometimes the poorest people are being choked out by the deceitfulness of riches, saying, if I had just a little bit more money, everything would be solved. I'll tell you right now, you'll never have enough money if that's your goal. I need to have more. I need to have more. I need to have more. No. The desire for pleasures is a third thing. Can you imagine your entire life? This, I can remember my dad telling me, the entire life, he worked at General Motors, and these guys would be working 6 and 7 days every single week. And it wasn't just for days, it wasn't for months, it was for years. And they'd be working 6, 7 days every single week for years. And they were doing one thing, they were storing up, because when they retire, man, they're going to have a great life. I can remember my dad saying, oh, I just heard so-and-so, he retired 6 months ago, he just died. You know, 55, 60 years of age, just one moment he's alive, next moment he's dead. The desire for pleasures, don't let it overwhelm you or overtake you. So I'm going to leave you, we're going to get into groups, and I'm going to leave each group, whether you're anywhere from 3 or 4 or 5, or 6, definitely don't go over 7. But even if you're in these groups of 3, I'm going to give you this paper, and I want you to go through, as a group, you can read some of the passages. I want you to pray on these things. At the very bottom, I've listed some of the things that you can pray for as well. Details of the body of Christ, main thing being every part doing its share. The whole body joined. We've been joined together, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The details of the body of Christ, who we are a part of, and the power of God in our life. The details of His will for us generally speaking. God's will for every single believer is that we should be laborers in His harvest, and that we should bring in the harvest in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.